The scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead to you in Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Several years ago now, about 10 years ago, in fact, I experienced my first earthquake. You all may know that I'm originally from Georgia, so I know about tornadoes and stuff, but I don't know much about earthquakes. When I experienced it, I was not in California or anything. I was not near any known faults in the earth that I knew of. I was not in an earthquake zone, I didn't think. I was sitting at my desk at a church in Waldorf, Maryland. And my senior pastor was at his desk across the hall. And when the earth first shook, it was like a rolling feeling. And the books on my shelf quivered a little bit. It was as if the solid ground that I had always taken for granted had suddenly become like optional. And the ground under me that I always thought was so permanent may not be quite as permanent as I hoped. I had no experience with earthquakes at all, so I didn't know what it was. I was utterly surprised. I wouldn't have been any more surprised if, like, a volcano had appeared in the parking lot and it started erupting Cadbury eggs. I was shocked. And I was too dumb to be concerned. I was not even worried until I heard my pastor across the hall say, "We're okay. We're okay." And then I became terrified because I didn't know not being okay was an option. Was that a thing? And after it was over and I'd done all the things you are not supposed to do in an earthquake, like run outside, for one, I noticed that for days afterwards, my legs felt a little wobbly. Into my normal week, my normal Thursday afternoon, the earth shook. You would think that today, Easter Day, is not a day for earthquakes. This is a day for predictability. At least until COVID, I certainly thought that. At least until COVID, you could count on it like clockwork. And even with COVID, there are still Easter flowers. We're going to have communion later in this service, even if we have to get it to go, because we're not going to take off our masks together quite yet. You can count on it, you know, like spring and new life and, God willing, good weather. The thing is, though, into our nice, peaceful, predictable Easter, we always bump up against the Easter story from Scripture. And that was the furthest thing from predictable that there was. According to Matthew's account, there was an earthquake. The earth shook, and an angel whose appearance was like lightning was scary enough to make the guard seem like a dead person. And the angel rolled back the stone that had stopped the grave, and he sat on it, in my mind, like a bar stool. He's not here, ladies. He's risen. Come see for yourself. There's a new sheriff in town, and it's not Caesar, and it's not Pilate. Come and see where he ain't. And then go tell the disciples to go to Galilee. That's where he'll be, because he's not here anymore. He's on the loose. He's out in the world. The earth as we knew it is shaking. The assumptions that we made aren't so true anymore. As of Friday, we knew, sure as gravity pulls down, that people who claim to be king of the Jews get arrested and tried and punished. We knew that people who breathe their last on a Roman cross tend to die and stay that way. As of last Friday, we would have told you that in general, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. We would tell you that no good deed goes unpunished, right? We would have said that death was the end of things, and the purpose of living was to look out for number one, or maybe just do the best you can. We knew that as sure as we knew the landmarks on our street, the lay of the land. None of these things happening that have happened to Jesus were really a surprise. Not the arrest, not the death, none of the bad news that we see on the news every day even comes to us as a surprise, does it? Things may happen suddenly like this, but when you hear about it, people would nod knowingly and they would say, "That's a shame." That's the way the world is, though. They wouldn't say it was a surprise. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary going to the graveyard, they expected a sad reality. They expected a body. They expected sadness and grief. And what they got instead was the shaking up of their vision of what the world was and a huge unexpected surprise. The earth shaking on this day and the appearance of the angel, that was God's response to the worst that the world had to offer. The forces arrayed against God's loving plan did the best they could do on Friday. And on Sunday, God made God's move, and the earth shook. In the face of the world's no, God says yes to everything Jesus was about, everything he said, everything that he did. In response to the no of our sin and death, God says yes today to life and mercy. God opened a pathway to new life, to real life. Will Willimon puts it this way. On the cross, the world did all it could to Jesus, and at Easter, God did all God could to the world. And the earth shook. You don't explain that, you witness it. You don't explain it, you witness it. That's why the risen Christ appeared first to his own disciples. They had heard him teach. They'd seen him heal. They watched as he loved the poor and brought the rich down. They watched him as he was arrested by the soldiers and tried by the judge and crucified. They knew all of that. But on Easter, God inserted a new fact. He took the cruel cross and made it a means of triumph. God took the worst we could do, all our death-dealing doings, and led them out toward life, and the earth shook. In doing this, God offers a new world to us. Jesus came back to forgive the very disciples who had forsaken him. We find out today that the world is about forgiveness, as it turns out, not vengeance, and the earth shook. The world is about life, as it turns out, not death, and the earth shook. Glenmar, if we took Easter Day seriously, What would that mean for us? What would it mean for our life, for our Mondays and Tuesdays, for our Zoom meetings, for our friendships and our plans for the future? Jesus is raised and he's on the loose. What difference will it make for you and for me? I know it rocked the world of these disciples. In response to this event, they did not mark it on their calendars and plan to cook a ham for supper tonight. They did not run out and buy Easter baskets. They went from scared and scattered people who were planning a funeral to people filled with courage and joy. People who formed a community of love and forgiveness and who existed despite peril and sword for 2,000 years. People ask me, Mandy, why do you believe the resurrection is real? Seems kind of hard to believe, you know? I mean, you weren't there and didn't appear on CNN. One of the things I point to is the existence of the church. The only way there would be a church of Jesus Christ these many years later is not only that the resurrection was real, but that it kind of keeps happening. There were 1,000 religious messianic zealots in Jesus' time. The Roman roads were lined with crosses and filled with tears. And yet today, where is the church of Simon of Bethany or James of Jerusalem? And what other religion follows a person killed as a political threat who was risen from the dead? What other religion from a nowhere backwater takes over an empire and spreads to the ends of the earth? Generally, our Easter worship tends to be a stationary thing. It's at a given place and time. It's advertised as such. But Jesus lives and he's out there and he's on the move. It's so appropriate that we're live streaming and you can watch this service anytime, anywhere, because Jesus is everywhere, calling us to new places. He goes on ahead of us to places and people that we don't know yet. So many churches act like the risen Christ got up and went into his office and put out a do not disturb sign. Some churches, not Glenmar, of course, but some churches act like when Mary got there, the stone was not only in place, it was decorated, nailed there, and put on the National Register of Historic Places. Seems like they act like you should come to our church because we have the prettiest tomb in the cemetery, or the biggest tomb, or the fanciest tomb, tomb on the corner of 5th and Main Street. But what I want to say to you, church, is that I have news for you. It's worse than that, because we have an empty tomb. Deal with that reality. A church that takes that seriously is not in the mausoleum business. It's not about turning inward and dying. It's not about preserving a body. It's about getting up and being our Lord's body in the world. That's why the angel said what he said. Why are you here? Because Jesus is not. The tame Easter we see in the Easter sale commercials is hardly the Easter God has in mind. Easter shakes the ground we stand on. It breaks the things that we try to build up for ourselves, our towers of Babel, our fences and barricades that we erect between God and us and between one another. Easter is an earthquake. It breaks all those down until only one foundation is left, the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. The wide-eyed women who meet the risen Christ on the road, who grab Jesus by the feet and worship him. The stuttering Peter who says, you're the Christ. And on this confession, on this rock, Jesus builds the church. This is the solid rock that we stand on. And we can stand on it even in a time of COVID, even in an election year. All the times when hard times threaten our balance, we find our balance on the rock that is Christ. And we do not have to be afraid. So I'm really glad that you came here in person or you tuned in online today. I'm glad that you came to the tomb this morning looking for Jesus. But what I want to say to you is, he's not here. He's been raised. So go to the Galilees of the hospital and the classroom and the soup kitchen and the Zoom meeting and the office. Wherever there is brokenness, wherever there is need, wherever dead places need new life, wherever two or three are gathered, socially distanced with their mask on, in those places, you will find him there. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen.